Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
And when I was in prayer trying to wonder, God, show me, what do we do? How do we respond? Do we talk about it? Do we move on? Do we make it normal? What do we try and do? And very clearly, God said to me, let's talk about it. Let's respond to what we do. We don't want to overcorrect and just ignore it and move on and harden our hearts. And we don't want to dive in and dig into the minutia of what's happened. And I said, God, if you could give me a direction, if you could give me a place to go. And so he said, Luke 13. And so in the few minutes that we have left today, I just briefly want to give a response. And what we should be focused on as people in this church, in this community, what we should be leaning into an understanding of who God is in this moment. Luke 13, 1 through 9 says, about this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked, is that why they suffered? No, not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, and I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. Will you pray with me? Lord, we grieve what should not have been. We confess how quickly fear can take root in us, but today we choose to remain open to your spirit. Dig around the hard places in our hearts. Cultivate compassion where anger wants to grow. Make us a people who bear fruit that looks like Jesus. Love where there is hate, peace where there is panic, faithfulness where there is fear. In your Son we pray, amen. When tragedy strikes, our first question is always, why? Why them? Why now? Why would God allow this? This is the ancient question. And as we see in Luke 13, this is a question of the travelers, the very disciples that Jesus moves with. This is the question that we have asked, the people around him. Why did this happen? Why was there a massacre? They were in the temple at the time. They were grasping for meaning because we as people want to put meaning into things. We want patterns to evolve and emerge. They want to know if those victims somehow, maybe they deserved what happened to them. Were they huge sinners? And how can I not be a sinner like them? Or how can I live my life so that I don't befall that? It's not curiosity. It's really self-protection. If we can find a reason, then maybe we can prevent it from happening to us. Maybe that's our security system, to step into the fray and say, well, as long as I don't do the things that they have done, then maybe that won't happen to me. But Jesus refuses to answer on those terms. He doesn't explain evil. He redirects it. He says, do you think that there are worse sinners than all others? No, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Not perish as punishment, but perish because when tragedy comes, we either turn toward God or we close in on ourselves. One response cultivates life, and the other leads to barrenness. And so that's the question that's been on my heart this week. When tragedy hits close, how will this form us? Because this will form us, by the way. It's not if it will form us. Everything that happens around us will form us. And it's forming us as we move and as we think and as we talk to people. I've talked to first responders and chaplains and other people at other churches who are asking these questions. And even across the nation, people have been calling and checking in and saying, what is going on? How can we help? How can we pray? How is this forming your heart? Will we harden it into fear and suspicion? Or will we let the Spirit till our hearts for new growth? And so the crowd comes and tells Jesus about this massacre. It's political violence mixed with worship. It's been going on since the time of Jesus. The crowd wants to talk about those people and the ones who suffered, but Jesus wants to talk about these people. He wants to talk about the people who are standing right in front of him now. What are you going to do about it? They expect him to answer the why. Were they the worst sinners? But Jesus refuses to play that game unless you repent. And so he moves the question from why did they suffer to how will you live? How will this form you? It's uncomfortable, I know, but because we would rather dissect tragedy than be shaped and formed by it. We'd rather go off onto our social media outposts and we would like to write words on why these things have happened. You know, we have all of our reasons, and we have all of our habits, and we have all of our theories as to why something like this could occur in this place. And we're asking the wrong questions. We're writing the wrong things to our people. When the world shakes, our instinct is control. We try and make sense of what cannot be explained. We assign categories, good and evil and safe and dangerous and us and them. But Jesus says, don't build those barriers. Don't build those walls. Bear fruit in this. Tragedy tempts us to blame, assign blame or build walls, but Jesus instead calls for turn and transformation. That word repent means to turn. So when we turn ourselves from what we have been doing, the things that we have been saying, the things that we have been believing, that's what true repentance looks like. To say, you know what, we've tried it this way for 2,000 years. We've tried to ask the questions. Why don't we turn away from that? Why don't we do something different in response to that? The sculptor Michelangelo once said, "I carve until the shape beneath the stone reveals itself." Tragedy is not the sculptor, but it often reveals what's underneath. It shows who we're becoming and who we trust around us when everything is fracturing. So we can't control the tragedy. We can't control the heartache and the chaos, but we can decide what kind of people we will become because of it. And so Jesus tells this story. He redirects everyone's thoughts and said, it's not about them, it's about us. And so he tells the story about the fig tree that has not borne any fruit for 3 years. And he's done waiting. Cut it down, he says. I want to be rid of it. It's taking up too much room. Just get rid of it. The fig tree hasn't had fruit in years. In fact, it says 3, but that's also not since it was planted, but since it had been growing in fruitful season. But the gardener, patient, compassionate, steps in and says, give it one more year. Let me dig around. Let me do the fertilizing. Let me find the roots. Let me water it. Let me tend the soil. Because something about this tree, it's not taking root. It's not in the process of becoming a fruitful thing. And I'll tell you what, if it bears fruit next year, great. I'm happy about it. If it doesn't, then we'll take it down. See, I think the tree represents human apathy and indecision. It represents our refusal to respond to God's invitation. That when we see these things happening, we go back into ourselves, we say thoughts and prayers, and then we move on with our lives. And I am so tired of us becoming desensitized to the violence around us in our world. I'm tired of the violence, obviously, but there's not a lot I can do about that as one person. But I'm tired that as a church, when we see something like this happen, that we've become desensitized to the needs of the community, that we've become desensitized to the people at the other end of that, that we've become desensitized that when one church goes through this, then all churches go through this. And so what do we do? How does this form us? Because God's heart is patient mercy. It's not destruction, but cultivation. So how have we responded? Has there been fruit on the tree? Has there been compassion and joy and love and mercy to a community that is breaking? Or has it been more of the same? God's not looking at our community in anger. He's standing in the garden with a shovel. He's digging around hardened hearts. He's loosening the soil. He's making room for grace again to take root. And so think of that tree. On the surface, it looks dead. It looks like it's not bearing anything, but underneath, something might still be alive. After the wildfires in Alberta, Canada, ecologists discovered that a certain pine cone from the jack pine only released their seeds through intense heat. It was the fire that seemed to destroy everything, but allowed new growth to come out of those seeds. In the same way, tragedy can burn through a community, but it can also burn away what seems to be shallow and false, and still, in God's mercy, release the seeds of something new into the community. So the question isn't, why did this happen? The question is, will we allow God to dig around our roots? Will we be stubborn people and say, this is just something that happens, God? Where are you? How long, God, do we have to sit and wait for you? Or will we allow God to root around in our roots and say, you can do it. You can be the answer. You can go and help. You can do these things. When violence shakes a community, it will harden or soften hearts. And our response as a church, our response as Christians, they're watching us, right? The outside world is watching how we respond to these things. And all of a sudden they're looking and they're saying, the church doesn't care. Why should I care? Christians don't care anymore about their community. They don't care about the people or what happens to them. Let's just move on. Let's desensitize ourselves. Let's compartmentalize and just say, this is something that happens. And so in the wake of violence, our hearts become soil, and the soil can grow all kinds of things. Left alone, it'll grow thorns. It'll grow bitterness and fear and mistrust and self-protection. But if tended by the Spirit, it can grow fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can't stop pain from entering the story. If you've figured that out, If you figured out some way to stop pain from coming into your life, please see me afterward, because I'd like to write a book about you. We cannot stop the pain, but we can decide what it produces in us. Tragedy will shape us, but the Spirit wants to form us. And so again, we have to ask, which one of those is going to take root in our hearts? Which one of those are we going to allow to form us? After the bombing of a church in Birmingham in 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King preached. He said, God still has a way of wringing good out of evil. He said that suffering, if accepted with faith, can transform an ordinary person into a spiritual powerhouse. It's not about pretending that evil is good. It's not about pushing evil to the side. It's not about marginalizing other people. It's about letting God bring fruit from the scorched ground. Letting God bring fruit into our community. Letting God bring fruit into your heart. What can be produced in you? What can come of that if we have fruit, if that's what we're producing? How does that transform community? How do we respond in tragedy? That's our calling now, to be a community where the fruit of the Spirit grows in public view, where people can see love instead of hate, peace instead of panic, faithfulness instead of fear. Or we can double down on fear and suspicion and division. We can double down on bitterness and anger and sorrow and self-pity. Or we can give ourselves over to a Spirit who wants to grow love and joy and peace and patience and kindness in us. The difference isn't the event, but it is in our response. And the fruit of the Spirit is that response. It's what the Spirit produces in people who let suffering soften rather than harden them. And so God's patience is not passive, it's active grace. While he's waiting, isn't this great about the God that we worship? While he's waiting for fruit to be born in us, he's not standing by, that's a very beautiful tree, I wish it had fruit on it. He's not standing by looking at the tree. He's tending the soil. He's watering and fertilizing and digging up the roots and trying to find where our hearts will respond. It's an active grace. Jesus doesn't tell us what happens to the fig tree. Did you notice that? This is an incomplete parable. It says, if not, then we'll cut it down. And then it ends. And we really want more from that. And we don't get more. Does it bear fruit? Does it get cut down? We don't know. And that's the brilliance of this parable. The ending is unwritten because it's ours to finish. God gives us that choice. In his infinite wisdom, for some reason, he's given us a choice on how to respond. To say, hey, you know what? We can do this again where everyone becomes bitter and barren for the next year and our hearts are hardened. Or we can soften this up. It is ours to finish. God's mercy gives us time not to waste it, but to bear fruit that lasts. Last week's tragedy has been a wound in our community, but it's also an opportunity for formation. Community formation, and how those people at the church that was attacked get formed, and how the people on the outside looking in get to be formed. The Spirit is at work even now, cultivating resilience and compassion and hope. And if the soil of our soul has been disturbed, maybe that's what was needed for growth. Gardeners know that nothing grows without first being disturbed. You want to know how that church responded? While we were busy thinking about what could happen, what could our response be, what could come next. They set up a GoFundMe page for the shooter's family. The church did that. That was attacked. They've raised $500,000 so far. That is fruit being born into a community. That is people on the outside looking in saying, what are they going to do next? What crazy Jesus thing are they going to do next? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take care of the shooter's family. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild the church. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pay for medical costs of people that are in the hospital. I'll tell you what we're doing. We're going to raise funds for funerals so that everyone who died in that attack has the right of proper burial that's deserving of them. That's the things that we're going to do. Those are the ways that we're going to support a community. And we're going to come around and we're going to hug each other and we're going to talk and we're going to listen to each other and we're going to dig into community. Not because we think that we can grow ourselves through this, but because this is what Jesus has called us to do in response to this stuff. It's not that we need less community. It's not that we need to draw away from each other. It's that we need to double down on who we are. We need to offer people Jesus. And if Jesus were here, he'd start a GoFundMe for the victims' families. And he would pay for the cost of the funerals and medical bills. And you know for sure that he would go around to the shooter's family's house and he would sit with them and he would pray and he would cry over the suffering that they have as well. Two young children without a father. One with pancreas, chronic disease. This is a community that's in mourning. This is a community that is waiting for us to say, here, this is what love looks like. This is what communion with other people looks like. Tragedy will form us. It will form us. Everything we walk through will form us. And the only question is whether it will make us bitter or fruitful. And that church could have gone on the rampage. They could have said the worst things. No, no, no. We lost our people. Let's shut the whole thing down. Let's go after these. No, they didn't. Tragedy happens, and it will form us. The question is, what will grow? Will it be figs at last? Will we see figs grow after this year of tragedy, of diving into the community? Or will it be another year of barrenness? My friends, the world is watching how we respond. They will see the fruit before they hear the theology. May they see us in a different kind of response, not anger, but in love, not fear, but peace, not apathy. Dear God, not apathy anymore, but faithfulness. May they see the patient work of the Spirit in us, and may this painful moment become fertile ground for the fruit that reflects Jesus himself.